Hello and welcome to CJ Evolution, the podcast dedicated to helping criminal justice professionals like you. Now here's your host, fellow CJ Evolutionary, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello everybody, welcome back. Episode 210 of CJ Evolution. Pat Fitzgibbons here. I'm the host and creator of this great show. Thanks to you, we continue to grow. 210 episodes because of you, the listener and supporter. Thank you for sharing it with your family and friends. I sure do appreciate it. If you head over to iTunes and rate and review my podcast, I would appreciate that too. Thank you so much. Special thanks to all those brave men and women working in the criminal justice field, whatever you're doing. Maybe you're a police officer, maybe you're a deputy, maybe you work in corrections patrol, working in jails, prisons. Thank you for what you do. You're all heroes in my book. I am so psyched to be partnered with Four Sigmatic. If you don't know who or what this company is, they make some incredible products, most notably their mushroom coffee. Yes, I said mushroom. It is amazing and it's good for you and it tastes great. If you head over to cjevolution.com, you're going to see a banner for Four Sigmatic. If you click on that and go and buy some of their fantastic products, you're going to get 15% off using the promo code CJEVO. You know, folks, we all want to be safer, both online and offline. My next guest travels the world. He consults businesses and companies, and he also does lectures to many, many people about security. He's going to give you some practical tips, again, about how to be safer in an online and offline world. I hope you enjoy this next great guest. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Very excited to have Pete Canavan on the show. He is just a jack of all trades. He's an expert in network and IT security. He's also expert in your personal security. So we're very happy to have Pete on the show today. Pete, are you there, sir?
Yes, Pat. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being here, sir. I know you're very, very busy individual. I didn't give you justice with that little brief bio. Can you fill in the gaps?
Well, I've been running my own IT company since 1995, so I've been familiar with securing my clients, both personal clients and business clients, from online safety and security threats, securing their accounts, their identities, that sort of thing. And then I've also been teaching and training in the martial arts. In fact, I was just promoted to a fifth degree black belt in both Hapkido and Taekwondo, two Korean martial arts a few weeks ago. I've been training in that over 20 years, so I've done a lot of training, in terms of people and helping them protect themselves from physical threats. I also worked as a university public safety officer for just under a couple of years, and from time to time, I help out some friends doing event security at a couple of local places and protecting those venues from rowdy patrons, I guess you could say.
Rowdy patrons at public events? I don't. Are you serious? I mean, that doesn't happen, does it? Especially when you add alcohol into the mix, probably.
I was just going to say, anytime there's alcohol involved, people take on a different personality sometimes.
Well, thank you for what you do. It's much needed out there. Let's start a little bit with your security or IT security background. I'm sure you get this all the time, Pete, with, how can we, maybe this is too broad of a question, but I'll ask it anyway. How can we protect ourselves better online? Because you always hear about all these scams and everything that are going on. And I know certain populations are particularly vulnerable, especially maybe the older population sometimes. But how can we as just regular consumers out there or anybody out there protect ourselves better when it comes to IT and doing online transactions and things like that?
The way you protect yourself really is twofold. The obvious way is by keeping your computer operating system up to date, making sure all the security updates are installed to whatever you're using, Windows, Mac, Linux, etc. You also need to make sure that you're using a good antivirus program, that that's kept up to date, that you run malware programs, keep them up to date, as well as any other application software that you run. They always have updates. So that's kind of the first sort of step, and you want to make sure that you're keeping everything up to date as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have a business and there's an IT department, they're configuring their security and their firewalls and that sort of stuff to sort of lessen the threats. So that's part one. Part two is the human side. And that is where we can be tricked, as you said, there's scams out there. We can be tricked into maybe clicking a link or visiting somewhere or saying, you know, hey, I've got an email here saying my package has been delayed. What's that all about? I'm expecting something from Amazon, as we many of us do these days. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be really aware of what are called social engineering attacks. Mm-hmm. And that's where people can be tricked into clicking a link or visiting a website and putting some information in, and really a couple of pieces of personal information is all it takes for somebody to steal your identity.
Mm-hmm. So what are some telltale signs? I mean, because you're an expert, Pete, and the average person out there is not a security expert like you. It doesn't have the background, the knowledge. So what are some telltale signs? Like, I mean, people get links. I mean, I get links all the time. And again, you're an expert, but the average person out there might be getting links and they're like, eh, looks legit. I mean, what are some signs that people can say, okay, I listened to Pete on this podcast, and this is what he said to look for, you know, as a telltale sign or maybe a suspicious sign of fraudulent, you know, possible, you know, being fraud or fraudulent activity?
A lot of these emails are going to have a sense of urgency about them. Mm-hmm. You've got to click this right away. You've got to visit this right away, or you're going to lose your package. You're going to lose your money. You're going to lose this opportunity. So we need to be aware of that, because anything that really starts to sound like it's very, very pressing is one sign. Mm-hmm. The other is, don't click the links in the messages. Go to your browser, go to your favorites, go to that bookmark yourself, or type the website address in, because if you hover over the links in those emails, a lot of times they are completely different than where you think you're going.
Hmm. Interesting. And we were talking a little bit off the air before we started. I mean, you know, I mean, you know this, Pete, as well as many of the listeners, you know, the IRS scam that have been going on for the last couple of years, where, you know, I mean, we have certain members of our population that get targeted, and, you know, the classic IRS agent, quote, calling up somebody who's saying, oh, there's a warrant out for your arrest. You know, if you don't pay this, you know, fine or whatever you owe the tax. No IRS agent's going to be calling somebody personally saying, you know, hey, you know, you owe the IRS. You know, a certain amount of money. So those are kind of other telltale signs, right?
Exactly. And, you know, if you're not sure, be polite and say, because, mm-hmm. you know, if something is legitimate, you're not sure, you could say, okay, that's great. Let me have your name, your number. I'll call you back in a little bit. And then you can go take a little bit of time and do some examining on your own, do some research on your own. Mm-hmm. You know, if you need to call the local office and say, hey, I just received this phone call. Here's the phone number it came from. Is this legitimate? And chances are it's not, but you might be able to provide some information that might help with an investigation. As you know, Pat, every little bit helps to maybe track somebody down who is preying on people who are not, you know, who are maybe too trusting. You know, as you said, some, you know, segments of the population, the older population, happens to all the time. I have a client just a couple of months ago, same thing happened. They called up, the wife was tricked into providing some information. Next thing you know, the bank calls them and says, why is somebody trying to wire 30 grand out of your account?
Yeah.
And they were like, what? You know, and that's a big chunk of change. It's not $300, you know?
Yeah. So what are some other threats out there that people can be aware of? I mean, I know that there's different things that are going on, different, you know, viruses and things that are happening all the time. What are some other things that people can be on the lookout for in the online realm?
Everybody's on social media, all of these different social media websites. What you've got to do, and you know, is you've got to go into your privacy settings. You've got to go in and take a look and say, what kind of information are you sharing? Who can see this personal information? In fact, what personal information are you even putting in your profile? Because you don't need to put a lot of that stuff in there.
Yeah.
Nobody needs to know your birthday. Nobody needs to know where you're working. Because guess what? They can find out where you're, you know, oh, is Pete at work right now? Oh, mm-hmm. great. I know he's not home. And I know where he lives because he's got it in his profile that he lives in this town. And it's so simple to find information out. So you really have to take a few minutes and go through your different accounts and check those privacy settings, disable things you don't need, turn off location services and stuff like that. How about these, you know, a lot of people go out and they take pictures.
Yeah.
And it tags right in a photo. I'm at such and such restaurant and look at my great meal here. And guess what? Somebody looking at that's going, you're not home.
Exactly. Or people that are going on vacation and they tag, hey, we're leaving out of town. And it always baffles me when I see that, because people are like just broadcasting to the world that, hey, they're gone. And like you said, Pete, you know, and you know, it's so easy to get information these days. So, you know, it's very easy to find out where people live. And so it always cracks me up when I see people saying, hey, we're jetting out of town for a week. This is where we're going to be. We're going to be down in, you know, we're over in Europe for 2 weeks. And, well, there you go. Why don't you just put a neon sign over your house that says, hey, we're gone.
Yeah, it's pretty much equivalent of that. And it's crazy because people think, oh, you know, it's not going to happen to me. Maybe they live in denial. They think, nah, it's nothing's going to go on. And so, I mean, even like when you go to the airport, you got a dash mounted GPS, take that thing and put it in the glove box. Don't let anybody see it.
Yeah.
And if you do have to program in your home address to get your home, don't use your home address. Use the gas station's address down the block.
That's a good point.
So if somebody does break into your car and go and pull up your GPS and say, okay, I'm going home to this person's house because I know they're not here because I'm at the airport where their car is.
Yeah.
Well, they might get to your town, but they're not going to know where to go from there.
Well,
so you gotta be smart. You gotta be a step ahead of the criminals.
Well, and it's not rocket science. I mean, it's a lot of it's just common sense. But you know what they say about common sense? It's not so common, I guess. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's unfortunate that that there are so many people out there trying to take advantage of others.
Yeah, let's shift gears for a little bit. You're a personal safety expert. You know, you mentioned your self-defense expertise. What is the easiest way or ways to improve one's personal safety?
Well, I think first and foremost, we need to define our safety concerns. We need to know, you know, what concerns to our personal safety could there be at our home, at our job, when we're out at the movies, when we're out at the mall, you know, what could possibly, you know, occur to us, you know, because we all have certain concerns and we need to be aware of what they are and arm ourselves with awareness, as I say. Mm-hmm. And then also we need to be very careful of becoming complacent when we are going about our day in our established routines. And we're all guilty of that. You know, you drive the same route to work every day. You shop at the same restaurant. You walk your dog down the same block. So these are all routines that make us comfortable. And when we're comfortable, we tend to not be as alert as we pretend, you know, maybe should be. You know, you got your headphones in. You're taking a jog. You've taken that jog every night for the last year and a half. But tonight, you got that music cranking. You don't hear the van that's pulling up next to you.
Mm-hmm.
So just little things that, you know, you have to tell yourself, you know, I need to be aware of what could potentially occur and don't allow yourself to get so complacent that you become careless.
Mm-hmm. And we were talking again off the air before we started about, you know, it's not about being paranoid all the time, but it is like you're saying, Pete, it's being more aware, being more cognizant of your surroundings. That can make all the difference in the world. But the hard thing is that you and I think differently, just like most of the listeners out there. So how do you, when you go around the world and you talk to people, I mean, how do you kind of get people to understand that better? That, because you're right, people are creatures of habit. And people, I think sometimes, and correct me if I'm wrong, Pete, people think, you know, they have this mindset sometimes of, well, if something happens, I'll just call the cops and they'll be here, you know, immediately. And we talked about how people need to be responsible for their own personal safety. You know, first, even, you know, way before the cops get there.
And, you know, no matter how fast somebody's going to respond, things can happen in seconds.
Oh, exactly.
You know, you could be 2 minutes away responding to a call, and you know there's a lot that can happen in 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're right. People need to have a little bit more personal responsibility towards their own personal safety. And know that, okay, if something were to occur, or better yet, I like to say not if something's going to occur, but shift the mindset immediately. When something is going to occur, mm-hmm. or when this happens to me, this is what I'm going to do. Whether it's, you know, I got a, you know, pepper spray in my pocket, I've got a defensive flashlight with a strobe function, somebody tries to come up to me, guess what? I'm going to hit them with the flashlight so they can't see, take out my pepper spray, spray them in the eyes, and run away.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, non-lethal force. A lot of people aren't comfortable carrying a gun or a knife and, you know, bringing themselves to that point of using deadly force. There's plenty of non-deadly effective deterrents out there. Even these loud alarms. You could have an alarm that cranks out 130 decibels. Man, that's painful on your ears.
Oh, yeah. And there is a percentage of the population, you know this, Pete, that you know, pepper spray doesn't work on them. A very small percentage.
Mm-hmm.
But people have to keep that in mind, too. That you know, nothing is 100%. So if this doesn't work, you know, if the decibel thing doesn't work, or the sound, or the, you know, pepper spray, you know, doesn't work. Okay, what's plan C and D?
Right. You got to have that plan B, plan C.
Yeah, because you can't just rely, especially on law enforcement. You know, we always have contingency plans. Okay, if this doesn't work, okay, what are you gonna fall back onto? And that should apply to people out there.
To civilians, sure. But unfortunately, unless you've got law enforcement training or you have military training, mm-hmm. you're not aware of some of these things. And so just drawing somebody's attention to some of these personal safety threats, you know, I education and awareness is, you know, 8/10 of the battle.
Exactly.
You know, it's not going to take you all the way there, but it's really, I mean, your most important weapon is right in between your ears, exactly. Your brain and your mind, and how you use that and how you think in a situation is going to really empower you over somebody else who has never thought about it. Mm-hmm. And you could think about any situation out there, but if you've thought about what you would do in a situation and I haven't, and that situation happens to us, well, guess what? You're going to respond a lot more effectively because you've thought about it ahead of time.
Exactly. That's a great point. Now, what do you think, Pete? What do you think is the most immediate threat, you know, to personal safety? Is it online or offline, and why?
I think online threats at this point are more prevalent, and therefore they're more common and something that we should be aware of even more than an offline threat. Mm-hmm. That said, there are now a lot of threats that used to only exist offline, like bullying, like stalking, that now have evolved into the online world. Mm-hmm. So you've got cyberbullying and cyberstalking that now, when they start to occur online, you've got to worry about maybe that threat following you into the offline world. So somebody might be stalking you online. What are you doing? Where are you going? Who are you hanging out with, etc.? And, you know, that to a certain extent is, I'm not going to say harmless, but, you know, there's no immediate threat to your personal safety physically there. Mm-hmm. But if that person decides to follow you home one night, guess what? Mm-hmm. Now there's a physical safety threat, and you better know how to handle that. You better know what you would do, where you're going to hit them, what you're going to hit them with, and be, you know, like an absolute raging force of fury against somebody, and get yourself into what I call the warrior mindset. Mm-hmm. And the mindset of a warrior is somebody who is willing to go over, above, around, through any obstacle in their way. Mm-hmm. And the example I like to give is, you know, Pat, if I were to say to you, I'm going to put up a 6-inch wide board in between two high rises, 40 stories up, and I'll give you $100 to walk across them. What are you going to say to me? You're nuts, right? Like, excuse me? Like, not in a million years, right? But if you have a child, an infant, say a 1-year-old that somehow managed to climb out there, and you're the parent, you will not even hesitate.
Sure.
And think about your own personal safety in going to protect that helpless child that cannot help itself. Yeah. And so that's the difference, really. And that's a really good way to illustrate how you can flip that switch and eliminate the fear. And if you can eliminate your fear of loss, your fear of injury, if you can do that, then nothing is going to stop you. Because if you're aware enough to know that you're hurt, you're aware enough to keep fighting.
Yeah, that's a good point. And we teach this. And I'm sure you're aware of this, Pete. You know, when we go out and we talk about active shooter situations or any kind of critical incident, you know, whether it's a school or a business, there is going to be a point, or there could be a point during that incident where, like you said, Pete, you might have to band together, or, you know, maybe there's more than one of you, or maybe it's just you, but you have to get into that warrior mindset where maybe you're confronting this person and then it's all or nothing. You have to fight for your life. You have to get into that mindset. If you're attacked, what are you going to do? Are you going to fight? Are you going to submit? I mean, like you said, and I know it's easier said than done, but you know, you have to start thinking about that. Okay, I need to get into this warrior mindset. It's me fighting or possibly dying, right?
Right. And, you know, fight for your life, not for your things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You can go buy a new car. You can get a new wallet. You can get a new credit card. You know what I mean? Those are things that if somebody wants to rob you, fine. Take them. Hopefully that's all they're going to do and they're going to go on their way. But if it gets to the point where you are now in fear for your life, and no matter what you do, no matter what you say, is going to enable this person to change their mind or of what they're going to potentially do to you, whether it's to hurt you or rape you or kill you, Well, guess what? Then you've got to make an instant decision and commit 100% to what your action is going to be. Mm-hmm. And then you've got to do it. And unless you've practiced that, unless you, and you know, experience an adrenaline dump isn't something a lot of people have experienced. And so when that happens, you get the tunnel vision. You can't, your hearing goes. I mean, yeah. Weird things happen to your body.
Slow motion.
Yep. Things, time seems to slow down. Right. Yeah. But, and, you know, you can explain it to people, but until you've experienced it, as I'm sure you have and I have, some people have, a lot of people have not. And so they need to understand that when it gets to that point, you've got to do whatever is possible until that threat is eliminated, that you've, you know, incapacitated that person and you're able to escape.
Is there any specific phrasing you can use, Pete, when if you're getting attacked, you know, any specific words that a person could use, you know, to try to get out of that attack or to escape that situation?
Well, if you are forceful in saying really anything as opposed to, oh, you know, don't hurt me. Yeah. But, you know, you turn and you say, stop.
Yeah.
Or you are not going to bother me. And you let that person know that you are not going to be an easy victim.
Sure.
Well, guess what? Not that they're definitely going to, but people who are looking to take advantage of others, they're doing whatever to them, they're looking for an easy target. So don't make yourself an easy target. Don't bury your face in your phone walking down the street. Don't have the headphones in. Be aware of what's around you. Keep looking around you. If someone is scoping you out and assessing your viability as a victim, and they see that they're going to have a hard time surprising you or getting the jump on you, well, they're probably going to let you go because they're going to look for an easier target.
Well,
and you know that.
And you're turning the tables on them. They're not expecting that. Like you said, they're looking for the, and I hate to use this term, but I'll use it anyway, the sheep, right? It's the easy target, you know, just going after the, you know, the person who isn't paying attention. And they're not going to expect, at least many of the people out there, the criminals, they're not going to expect you to turn around or, you know, be confronted, right? They're just going to expect you to submit.
And that has nothing to do with physical aptitude.
Sure.
That has to do with your mental state and your ability to turn on that switch and say, I am not going to be a victim. I refuse to be a victim. I am going to fight for my life, for my kids, for my whatever. And you let that person know that you are not going to be an easy target and you are not going to be an easy person for them to deal with. They may think twice.
Yeah. It made me think when we were talking, you were saying, you know, people have their heads buried in their phones, not paying attention. Remember when this Pokemon Go thing was going on like a year and a half ago, and people are,
oh my goodness,
like walking into streets, getting, you know, falling off cliffs because they're trying to find these
unreal
things, and they're just not paying attention. So I mean, it's just crazy. You've done a lot of, you're an expert in campus safety, and you've done a lot of event security. What were some of the issues you've seen with those different things that you've done? Obviously, campus, sometimes, you know, college or other types of campuses. I imagine you saw a lot of personal attacks, maybe other type of assaults. What are some tips that you can give people out there that, you know, maybe they have kids that, you know, my daughter's in college. What are some tips that you can give parents out there or other people who are listening?
College, you know, parents today, I think the number one concern for their kids is not, you know, whether or not they're going to, you know, get a job after college or move back home. It's, you know, is my kid going to come home safe at the break? Is my kid going to come back home to me after college and then, you know, go on to the next phase of their life? Because, you know, the time that children spend in college, and they're still children, they're kids, you know, they're very, they're forming their opinions of a lot of things, their relationships, their political views. They're very formidable, and they tend to listen to, you know, a lot of different, you know, influences during those years. And so part of it is they may be away from home for the first time. And so they're not familiar with the area they're in. And so thank God I haven't seen a lot of bad assaults or anything like that, although we did have some. But, you know, things like making sure that when you walk into a dorm, if you got to swipe in or key in, that nobody's piggybacking on your swipe. And that just simply means that, you know, you swipe in and then three people walk in after you. Well, no, those three people didn't swipe in, so nobody even knows they're in the building. How do you know one of those people isn't a student?
Sure.
So little things that I mean, that's one example. Another is, you know, meeting somebody to maybe buy something. You meet somebody online and, you know, you want to buy, I don't know, a cheap mountain bike when you're at school or something, and you agree to meet somebody downtown or off campus somewhere. You know, bring a friend or two with you. Don't go alone. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to an ATM. Make sure you're going to a well-lit ATM that's in the middle of a block and not on a corner where you can be surprised. Don't go to one that's got cars hanging around. Yeah. These things are, a lot of this stuff, I talk about all of this in the college safety book, The Ultimate Guide to College Safety, that I wrote, mm-hmm. because I talk about, you know, defining the concerns and the guidelines and basically knowing what your comfort zones are, you know, and your personal boundaries. That's a big one.
Yeah.
If you can't articulate to somebody what your own personal boundary is, how do you even know when somebody crosses it?
That's a good point. Yeah. You're very right. Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, and that's, and of course, you know, the social media stuff and the cell phones, and you get into alcohol, and, you know, a lot of these kids, they have never, you know, gotten plastered like they're going to get plastered when they go to college. And look, we got to just say it's going to happen. Kids are going to drink. They're probably going to try drugs. You know, whatever's out there. People abuse prescription medications. This is all stuff that I address that people need to be aware of. And again, you know, we're not trying to be paranoid. We're not trying to scare people. It's just, look, things are out there. You need to understand, for example, how caffeine works with alcohol. You know, why is that so bad? You know, I'm just a wide awake drunk. Well, no, not really.
Depression.
You know, there's a lot of bad things that can happen.
Yeah. What about event security, Pete? Now, we all remember the tragic, horrible events in Vegas. So what advice would you give to people, you know, that are going to a big venue or a concert or anything like that? Because, you know, I mean, anything can happen. Like you said, anything can happen anywhere, but especially in big venues like that, what should people be aware of?
First and foremost, and I think, Pat, you'd agree with me, is know where your exits are.
Exactly.
if you can, you know, position yourself not too far away from an exit so that if something does happen, you can get out quickly. You also need to know where you can find cover. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of your listeners probably know the difference between cover and concealment.
Yep.
You know, cover's going to stop a bullet and, you know, concealment is just going to hide you. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if somebody can't see you, they can't necessarily shoot you, but it's not going to offer you any protection. And so if something does happen, whether it's somebody shooting or whatnot, get behind something that's going to block those, you know, those rounds. Yeah. And eyeball where it is you're going to go, visualize where you're going, and then go. We talked about, you know, active shooter training. You know, they teach you the three things, you know, run, hide, fight.
Yeah.
And the only way you're going to do those things effectively is if you've thought about it and planned for it a little bit ahead of time. And it doesn't take much.
No,
it doesn't take much.
But it's so sad, Pete, and you know this. I mean, you know, when I was growing up and, you know, and probably when you were growing up, I mean, who would have thought that we would be living in an environment now where we have to talk about this stuff where, well, we have to talk about this stuff when you're going to a concert, or we have to talk about safety in schools. I mean, I just never thought, and we still live in a great country. I'm not saying any of that or indicating or inferring that. And we still live in a relatively safe country, at least I believe. But I never thought we would come to a time in our lives where we'd be talking about, you know, with an expert like you saying, okay, what do we do, Pete, when we go out to a concert? You know, and talking about cover and concealment. I don't know if you've ever thought that. I mean, it's just amazing that we've come to that point in our society.
Oh, it blows my mind every day. In fact, you know, when I'm writing and teaching and stuff like that, I mean, half the time I feel even bad that I have to talk about it because somebody has to. And you know, again,
you're
when
right.
we were growing up, these things didn't exist. You didn't have to worry about the vast majority of things that we've seen in the news over the last 5-10 years.
Yeah.
And it's really sad. But I think, you know, the problems, I mean, we could sit here and we could talk about the problems and it would take another hour of your show here. But there are a lot of things that have changed in our society over the last decade or two. And a lot of it has to do with the violence in society, in media, in video games, in movies, and a lot of it has to do with the breakdown of the family structure.
I agree with
and
that.
Not there, yeah. There are a lot of things that, you know, that contribute. You know, you can't really put your finger on any one of them.
I agree.
But I think it's a culmination of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're starting to see what damage is starting to occur as a result. And who knows where it's going to be in 5 or 10 years from now.
Yeah.
And that's the scary part. I mean, I've thought about that too. I've looked at where we've come from, where we are today, and then I look 5-10 years down the road, and I think to myself, man, I don't even want to think about it sometimes, but yet I do, because who knows where it's going?
Well, I think I'd like to think, maybe I'm just naive. I mean, I'd like to think, you know, because of people like you out there educating people, I'd like to think that we're going to get better. And, you know, it's all about education, Pete, you know that. And the more we educate people, the more they know more, and they can hopefully prevent things and you know, try and mitigate things. And I do like to think, I like to think of myself as an optimist. Most of the time, I do think things are going to get better.
You said, you took the words right out of my mouth. Anything you can do to mitigate risk is a good thing. And it starts with education and understanding of what can happen to you, whether it's online threats, whether it's offline threats, the combination of the two working, you know, together to a certain extent. There are a lot of things that simply being aware of them and taking a few small extra steps during the course of our day can absolutely ratchet up your safety IQ, as it were, to a much higher level, which is in turn going to keep you safer and your family and everyone else.
Exactly. Can you talk a little bit, take a couple minutes and talk about, we touched a little bit, Pete, about your books, and I know you got 5 of them out there, and they're all on Amazon, correct?
That is correct, yes.
You can find them on Amazon, and I'll have them linked up, a link to Pete's information on Amazon on the show notes. But can you talk about it? You mentioned one of them. Can you mention the other ones?
Well, the first one I wrote is called The Self-Defense Survival Guide. Mm-hmm. It's a basic book for anybody with either no self-defense experience to somebody that's actually has a little bit of experience with martial arts or self-defense. But it's designed to be, you know, I talk about awareness in that and in the book, but it's also a very basic way of learning how to properly block, how to strike, where to strike, how to escape from holds and chokes and things, and not getting too detailed, but given somebody with no experience a very good overview of how they can, you know, learn a few things to protect themselves from physical attacks. That that book is primarily, you know, physical attacks. And I wrote that after designing a course for a group of realtors who were like, you know what, we just want to learn some basics. And so I kind of boiled down everything I knew into this, you know, real short course. And I said, you know what, this would make a great starting point for an introductory book, and that's where that came out of. And then, you know, through my work as a public safety officer, I did some training for the public safety officers. So I wrote the campus security book. And another one of my clients has is a corrections officer, and we actually went through. And there was a local incident at one of the prisons here where a guard was killed by an inmate with a shiv. You know, a guy came and he it was terrible. And so it was really on the awareness of a lot of the local people here. And so this guy said to me, he's like, you know what, they really don't teach us a whole lot about knife attacks and shiv attacks. He's like, can we maybe do something together? So I said, sure. So he and I worked together and came up with a corrections officer knife attack defense course. And we designed it so that it can be used by anybody who, you know, has to wear their duty gear, you know, wearing your belt, wearing your vest, wearing your boots, because a lot of times you work on self-defense techniques and, you know, everybody's in sweatpants and bare feet or sneakers or something, and it's not like realistic. It is in a real world.
Yeah, it's not realistic.
You know, so we actually worked on a variety of different terrains, you know, on hills and slippery surfaces and stuff, because things have got to work in the heat of battle. And as I call it, the speed of fight.
Yeah, it's excellent.
And so that was one. I did another one on attitude in the personal development space. So
yeah, and that's so important. You know, they're all important, but you know, I really like the one that you talked about just now with attitude. It's mindset, right? And it's personal development. We should all be developing all the time and learning and growing, especially when it comes to safety as well as other things in our life. But yeah, it's all about mindset, right?
Yeah. That's called the altitude of your attitude. Mm-hmm. And I actually have a chapter in the college book on attitude that takes a lot of information from that book. But I talk about the 4 different types of attitude and how to have the never quit attitude and the mindset of a warrior. And then the difference between having a value driven attitude versus an expectation driven. You know, did you go at it from the point of view of what can I do for you? Or do you go about it from the point of view of what can you do for me?
Yeah, exactly. Well, Pete Canavan, any final words of wisdom, sir, before we wrap up?
Well, if anybody's interested, I do have an online safety checklist that they could get from the campus website that I created around the book at campussafetyuniversity.com is the website. And there's a link there, and you could download, just put in your name and email. It'll send you a checklist for online safety. And so that, as I said, that's really a good place to start. And there's some links to some other information there as well. I've got another website that is all about free self-defense information, learnselfdefenseonline.com. So I've got a lot going on.
Yeah, I know you do. You're very busy. And if they want to reach out to you personally, you got your own website out there, right, Pete?
Yep, just PeteCanavan.com. C-A-N-A-V-A-N, as my dad used to say, a car can go up a hill, Canavan. So, well, you know, everybody remember how to spell it now.
Well, sir, I appreciate it very much. I know you're a very busy man. Thank you for what you're doing and educating people. Keep up the great work. We wish you nothing but success in the future. And thank you for coming on the show, sir.
Yeah, Patrick, really appreciate it. And thanks for having me.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to CJ Evolution. Be sure to head over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast, and reach out to Patrick on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Anchor, or Snapchat. We'll see you next time on CJ Evolution.